Welcome to Spring Valley Bible Church. We're on Wednesday night study of the great book of Ezekiel. And my name is Herman Maddox, pastor of Spring Valley Bible Church. I understand we have a lot of new listeners, and I'm thankful for that. I encourage you members of Spring Valley Bible Church to be in prayer that this outlet will bring more people to the truth of the gospel and to the study of His Word. Somehow or another, I think after all of this is over, we're going to have to press Julie and Brian and Kit and Jeff to set this up for every class. I don't know how that's going to work, but I'm not supposed to know how it's going to work. So we'll do that. Now, just a couple of announcements by way of moving into our study tonight. As far as prayer, I talked to Chris Daig and Nick, had some bad days. Please garrison your prayers. Every day, pray for Nick Daig. He needs your prayers and he needs your support. Chris and Laura are doing fine, Ben Daig's doing fine, but Nick needs your prayers, so please be in prayer for Nick at this time. Now, got a wonderful letter today, email, from Brian St. Clair that I want to share with you, prayer warriors. He says, "Thank you, prayer group, for praying with us that God would provide a job." And I think most of you know how important that is. "I start back to work tomorrow. My supervisor called after she learned that I was coming back and was in tears because she was having a tough time trying to manage her work and mine at the same time. We believe this is a miracle from God because they gave me a severance package, still getting that, and they had to go up the chain of command in management to bring this all off. Convinced them that they did not just want a contractor to fill in, they wanted a particular contractor, me. People, this is of God. Thank you for your prayers. We're overwhelmed with joy in another answer to our prayers. And I know He answers and to encourage us all to continue to seek Him with all our cares. Thank you again. And know that we are praying for you, members of Spring Valley Bible Church, every day for God's blessing, guidance, provision, and protection. Brian and Jennifer St. Clair." So, I'm asked a lot of times what it's like to teach here to a very small group. Tonight we have four people. Brian and Julie Cooper, who is setting everything up, and I'm so thankful to them. People, please keep them in your prayers, and Julie's mother. Protection from coronavirus. Thanksgiving for them being here. They are the reason you're seeing this and getting this message right now. So please be in prayer for them as they travel to Oklahoma sometime. And come here and set up this so you and I can worship God together. And tonight, a little guy snuck in on the back, named Gigi, and he snuck in at the back and is sitting there with his mask on. You know, when they started wearing masks, I told everybody, I put on my Long Ranger mask, and I went to a store, and everybody laughed at me. I don't understand. But anyway, I want to remind you, and when we get this set up, where we can move the camera around, I want you to see the 45 people, young people I have listening. People like Joshua, Gabriella, Biz Foley. Wonderful young people. They're smiling, listening, watching to what we're doing. Now, as I've told you before, the most dangerous thing you will do in your life is to open the Bible. That's the most dangerous thing you will do. It's most dangerous because you'll be tempted to have human viewpoint, your viewpoint, what you want the Bible to say, instead of relying completely on the Holy Spirit for Him to tell us what's in the Word of God. So let's spend a moment in prayer. Purpose of this prayer, test yourself. See if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to live in a time when we do, when we have this means to come together and worship. We get a feel of what it must be like in Russia and China, parts of India, Nigeria, parts of Africa, where they have to hide. Come together for maybe 30, 40 minutes. Pray together. Read scripture. And then get out of there. We don't have to get out of here. We can worship you, Father, together with everyone that's tuned in. And now, Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and understand from your word. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. And for His glory, amen. Okay. First thing I want to say is please remember what the world is facing right now with COVID-19 is a stern warning from God. This is not the wrath of God. You don't want to experience the wrath of God, let me assure you. It is the nature of God, our God, to give warnings before His wrath. This we learned right from the beginning, where God warned the original parents, Adam and Eve. I always enjoy people, and I'm one of them, who send in their DNA to get traced, find out who their ancestors are, and all this kind of thing. I found out I'm 25% Jewish. But let me tell you something. If you go back far enough in your DNA heritage, we all go back to Adam and Eve. Now, what is interesting is, by the way, every male is so related to Adam and Eve that we have the inherited sin nature and pass on to the next generation when we give childbirth. We pregnate a woman, give child, we pass on the inherited sin nature that we received from Adam. Study the book of Romans. Now, God warned Adam and Eve not to eat of a tree, a certain tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil designated, but they did not listen and therefore experienced the wrath of God. They died spiritually. And later died physically. Today, God is warning the world. But the world is not listening. All the world is caring about is finding a vaccine to cure the symptoms of the problem. People, it's the symptoms. The problem is our betrayal of God. Our desertion of God. And His Word. That's the problem. Satan is using COVID-19 to advance his own program. And many leaders of the world, people, are listening to Satan instead of listening to God. They're listening to Satan. Two major objectives of Satan throughout the world today. Exploiting COVID-19. Never let a crisis go unexploited. And that's his motto. And there are two primary objectives that Satan has. One, taking away basic human freedoms from people. the inalienable rights that God has given to every human being. And no government has the right to take away. So Satan and his delegates here on earth are using COVID-19 to take away unalienable rights. Study your Constitution. Secondly, continually attacking and tearing down the divine institutions from God. Read your Bible. Divine institution number one in Genesis, free will or volition. Everyone has the free will to believe in Jesus Christ or to reject Jesus Christ. No one will be in the lake of fire by God's design. They choose to be there. That's right. People that will be in the lake of fire choose to be there. They reject the love of God that we studied on Sunday morning. So, they choose it. And people, you better pay close attention to this year's presidential election. The Democrats are set on countering the will of the people here in America and take over the election process. Got to be in prayer. You've got to be in prayer. Sometimes we say, well, what can I do? You can pray. People think about that. You pray to the sovereign, omnipotent God who controls and acts in history. What more do you want? That's unbelievable power. So be in prayer. Please understand that completing the voting by mail is designed to use COVID-19 to usurp the American people. The second divine institution, marriage. Breaking down God's design of marriage between a man and a woman. This started long before COVID-19. Same-sex marriage, or no marriage at all. We used to call it shacking up, now they call it love. But the breakdown of marriage by the world started some time ago with women's liberation, who rejected God's design of the authority of the husband. The husband, excuse me, the husband, 50%. That's what the women want, 50-50. No, God said the husband is in authority. Women rebel. No. No. It's 50-50 at least. But God says the husband is in authority. And weak men went along with it. So we have a breakdown of marriage in America, in the world. Liberals today, male and female, hate authority. They hate it that President Trump is in the presidential authority. They hate that. They hate that. Now, if their man ran, they'd love it. They'd love it he had that authority. But a conservative, freedom-loving president's in office, and they hate it. They hate that authority. They hate that President Trump is in presidential authority as per the Constitution. They want him out. Why? So they can be in authority. That's simple. They want to be in authority. People are always against authority until they're in authority. And then they love it. The third divine institution, and so beloved by God, the family. The family. Again, to destroy God's design of the family has been going on for decades. In public schools, with taking away parental authority, parental rights, parental responsibilities, where in the school, public schools, parents do not have to be notified if their teenage daughter gets an abortion. People, that is a rejection of parental authority. That's a plot to destroy it. See? The government says it knows more how to rear your children than you do, and we don't need the Bible to do it. In fact, because you use the Bible, we want to control the education of your children. Breakdown of the family. Today there is such a breakdown of morals and even the right to have moral conviction. You're an enemy if you have moral convictions from the Word of God. And then the fourth divine institution that is under attack under this COVID-19, nationalism. A breakdown of nations. Here, especially in America, this has been going on for decades. But with coronavirus, the only way to really fight coronavirus is globalization. One big hierarchy up there telling everybody in all the country, everybody, what they have to do. Wake up, Americans. If you love America, if you love your freedom, you better wake up. You better wake up. Biden, presidential candidate of the Democratic Party, has already made it clear he is not for America. He is for globalization, universalism. They have exalted globalization to take care of climate control. Now they add they've got to have it to take care of coronavirus. They've got to control Russia, America, China. And you see, we the elite, self-appointed, we the elite, know better how to handle the problem. Which, by the way, is no problem. But now the globalists are shouting, they need one world government to handle COVID-19 and other diseases. Control China, Russia, America, India, so forth. Italy. People, wake up. What is going on through the world? They are exploiting the crisis to tear down divine institutions. Wake up to what's going on through the world. Their ideal is wrong. God was wrong in establishing nationalism. It should be one world government. See, they don't believe in creation, believe in evolution. So we're all just a higher degree of animal, and they are a higher degree of animal to take care of all of us lower animals. That's their ideology. There's no long-lasting human soul and all that created in the image of God. We're all just a higher breed of animal. And like you take care of your dog and your cat and your horses, they'll take care of us. They'll take care of us. This is what they want to do. People, please know that globalization is not new. Read carefully sometime Genesis chapter 10, namely about Nimrod. Nimrod means rebel against God. In Genesis 10, 8 to 11, he rebelled against God. So from the beginning, that was about 4,000 B.C., man used his free will to rebel against God and God's design. And that's what's going on in the United States in 2020 A.D. Indeed, throughout the whole world. One world government. One world united to resolve man's problems. Let me show you how this works biblically, historically. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. This is a Bible church. Have your Bible. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard, whatever Bible translation you prefer. I entered Dallas Seminary, a King James soldier, but the more I took a Greek and a Hebrew and studied, I realized that the New American Standard tries to stay as close as it can to the original manuscripts, and where they even have a little trouble, they give it to you in the margin. So, but whatever translation you want. But let's read Genesis chapter 11, and let's read from verse 1. Now, the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed eastward. All of this requires hours and hours of study. I'm just going to read it. There they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city." When I was in seminary, one of the things we had to study was the theology of city and cities. It's a very interesting study. That isn't God's design. But anyway, let's take a look. "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we'll be scattered abroad over the face of the earth," which is what God commanded. They rebelled against the plan of God, just like they are today. God has a plan for free will. They rebel against it. God has a plan for marriage. God has a plan for family. They don't like it. God has a plan for nationalism. They don't like it. They want to destroy it. This is not new. This has been going on all the way through history. Let's go to verse 5. I love verse 5. It personifies God. "The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built." I have in my garage a little plaque, and it says, "Don't make me come down there, God." See? When God comes down, you're in trouble. All right. "Then the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, 'Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language.'" Globalization. "And this is what they began to do. And now nothing that they propose to do will be impossible for them." In other words, in their plan against my will. "Come to the other members of the Godhead. Let us go down there and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth," which is what he wanted. "And they stopped building the city. Therefore, it became known as Babel," Babylon, "because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth." And therefore, we have the population of the world. We have races. We have nations. And people, let me tell you something. There's always going to be race, and there's always going to be nations. Jesus Christ, he alone is the solution to racial problems and national problems. So, just understand that this is what they desire to do. Now, I know there's some of you, maybe you're listening, who don't like and don't believe we should mix religion, church, and politics. Wake up! They are mixed by God's design. How you think morally, politically, economically, should come from your understanding of the Bible. As the great theologian Carl F. H. Henry stated, Quote, "The Christian belief system, which the Christian knows to be grounded in divine revelation, is relevant to all life." That is, every area of life. People, if you don't think the Bible and politics and morality and economics go together, why do you think they want to remove the Bible and prayer from our public education? Why is that a big issue? Gotta be done! Why do you think they want to do that? Why do you think they want to remove the Bible from our judicial system? So they will not have to use the Bible to get your views of politics, economics, morals, or justice. So all four of God's institutions are designed for the protection of humans and their rights, your rights, your rights. Free will are always under attack. Marriage, family, nationalism. You have to decide which side of history you're on. You cannot serve man and God at the same time. You cannot please man and God at the same time. People, we need to defend marriage of one man and one woman. Can you believe this? We need to defend it. 50 years ago, 1950s, this would have never been even thought about. It's understood. But now we got to defend it. The marriage between one man and one woman. This should wake you up to an alarming degree of the evil that is overcoming the world right now. We need to defend family. God's most basic human responsibility, privilege of teaching a child the truth of God's Word. And people, please note that liberalism, we've got to know what liberalism is all about. Do you know what liberalism is? It's not just another fun thing. Let me tell you what liberalism is. Open to new behavior or opinions, and willing to discard traditional values. Look it up. That's what liberalism is. Open to new behavior, new opinions, and willing to discard traditional values. By definition, a liberal does not agree with nor believe in the norms and standards given to us in the Word of God. They are more willing to discard basic biblical values, morals, right and wrong, and replace them with values of the day that would subject all the people to change. We've got to change, get away from the Bible. Got to get away from it. Why? Got to get away from God. It is shameful that our educational system, that most high school graduates, and I probably could include college, but at least most high school graduates, cannot tell you the difference between conservative and liberal. Between liberalism and socialism. People, socialism, which we're hearing a lot about today, the man running for the Democratic Party, strong on socialism, he's gone beyond liberalism, socialism. Socialism as an economic system in which private property is transferred to the state, and operation of means and production and distribution are controlled by the government. No free enterprise. No ownership of property. It's all controlled by the government. Is that what you want? Then vote socialistic. If that's not what you want, wake up. In Marxist theory, socialism is the transitional phase between capitalism and communism. I hope you see it. Liberalism is the transition between capitalism and socialism. And then the next step after socialism is communism. What in the world is communism? We're so afraid of offending China. People, it's communistic China. Communistic North Korea. Communistic Cuba. That's what they are. Communistic. What is communism? Marxist goal of a future utopia in which all resources of production are owned in common, which may sound nice until you ask, who's in charge of that? Say, the elite, who set themselves above all the other human animals and can make all the right decisions for human animals. They know better than God. They know better than you what you need, what you should have. It is so interesting that Satan uses a lot of different men. Nimrod, Darwin, Marx, Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, and so on. While God uses many men throughout the United States of America, many men to advance His truth, His word. And in each step from capitalism to liberalism to socialism to communism, freedom of the people is taken away. You lose freedom. When you go from capitalism to liberalism, you lose freedom. When you go from liberalism to socialism, you lose freedom. When you go from socialism to communism, no freedom. The government is in control. Got to understand this. And we are on our way, people, of losing these freedoms. All for the great society. Whether COVID-19 are used to usher in the next step. Not only in America, but throughout the world. And for those of you who have not caught on yet, we had a right-out communist running for president in Sanders. Now we have a socialist in Biden. And a multitude of liberals are voting him in, supporting him. Wake up, American. Wake up. We're at war, all right. But not just with the invisible coronavirus, but the invisible enemies of American freedom. The visible enemies of American freedom, which include freedom of worship, freedom to own arms, weapons, which, of course, is also under attack by the liberal, socialist, communist members of our Congress. America was founded on the principle from the Word of God. And what our forefathers farmed, people, if you really want to understand American history, you've got to start back, and I won't take you too far back, just start back in 1700. Study the world in 1700, and you will see the miracle of America, the birth of America. It is unbelievable. They formed a republic. Now, do you know what a republic is? Do you know what it is? To cover up what is being done by the liberals in this country, they really try in education to define a democracy as a republic. Ben Franklin, in reply to the question, what form of government do we have? When he walked out of the hall, and he beautifully replied, You have a republic. You have a republic if you can keep it. We haven't kept it. We haven't kept it. Forces moved in almost immediately to destroy the republic and turn it into a democracy. Presidents call it a democracy. Fundamentally, the difference between a republic and a democracy is this. A republic, representative rule. A democracy, people rule. Our founding father, Madison, quote, "In all various numerous assemblies of whatever character they composed, compassion never fails to wrest the scepter, the rule, from reason." Do you understand what he's saying? What happens is the passion, emotion, overtakes reason. And that's what happens. Advocates of a pure democracy call for abolition of American institutions. Think about it. Getting rid of the Electoral College. Have you heard of that lately? That's not new. If you want to have a democracy, get rid of the Electoral College. Get rid of the Supreme Court. Get rid of marriage concept. Get rid of moral concepts. Exalt same-sex marriage. On the way, people, it's recognizing what's happening right now. If you did your homework and reading, pedophilia, molestation of children, as part of the makeup of mankind, and therefore should be condoned. Well, it'll never happen. Yes, it will. It's in the making. It's on the boards. There's nothing really wrong in pedophilia against a child. That's what they're saying. People were in trouble. Wake up, America. Wake up. The abolition of private property, inheritance. John Adams said, "Democracies do not last long." And he was so right. Abraham Lincoln. Let me quote Abraham Lincoln for you. Don't interfere with anything in the Constitution. Anything. That must be maintained. The Constitution must be maintained. For it is the only safeguard of our liberties. And not to Democrats alone do I make this appeal, but to all who love these great and true principles. The problem is, too many Americans don't love these principles any longer. Obama told us before he was elected president in his book, the Constitution is out of date. It needs to be renewed. It needs to be redone. He told us that. Madison goes on to splendidly explain how this very same erroneous belief held by collectivists destroys property rights, which is the foundation of any free society. Now, this requires you to think. Someone says, "I think it's wrong to shoot somebody because they're in your house robbing your house." People, they don't understand. The right of property is your freedom. Take away that right, what do we have? See, take it away. The right of property, the right of business, these rights are fundamental. So this is very important, what Madison had to say. Erroneous belief held by collectivists destroy property rights, which is fundamental to any free society. People, if you want to get back to reading this time, you're shut in, read George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Go back and read our founding fathers, what they believed, what they taught. Madison reiterates the view of Plato over 2,000 years prior in the Republic. Plato's writing of the Republic. Plato writes that the loss of principles sends a democracy spiraling into tyranny. Another one I love, Ben Franklin. When the people find that they can vote themselves money, they will herald the end. That will herald in the end of the Republic. And right now, Americans think they found that. Just vote, give me money. Send me money. I don't earn it. But send it to me anyway. This is what America's learning firsthand. People, I beg you, be in prayer for our president and vice president. He needs your prayers, not your criticism. This is the first time in history anything like this has happened. There are no manuals he can look at. No manuals to study. This has never happened before. This is unprecedented. He needs wisdom from above. Pray God will send him this wisdom. Pray for him. He might make some mistakes. By and large, he's doing a remarkable job. If you think about it. Pray for him daily. His critics are occupied with themselves and they have their own agenda. Wake up, Christians. Wake up. This lust for democracy has gone over to the church, where people want to read and interpret the Bible for themselves. People, when Jesus Christ, the head of the church, set up the church, he gave males the gift of pastor-teacher to stand on the walls, to study the Word of God, preferably in the original language if possible, to teach the Word of God. But multitudes today are trying to usurp Jesus Christ's foundation of the church, of the design of the church, and appoint themselves as readers and teachers of the Bible. It's amazing the number of self-appointed teachers today. And it's no surprise that theology is completely bizarre today. How many views of salvation are there? They tweak, they twist, they distort the gospel. Salvation. You can lose your salvation. You got to maintain your salvation. On and on and on. Oh, well, I heard this guy, he was teaching. He's not a pastor. Not recognized. Not prepared. Jesus Christ set it up for the stability of the church. Psycho-heresy is running wild in churches. The emergence church is running wild. People, they're trying to take away the structure that Jesus Christ gave us upon which to build our lives. He appointed men to sit down and study, and study, and then teach a little, and then study, and study, and teach a little, and study, and study, and teach a little. But you know what? It takes humility to sit under a pastor. It takes humility to do that. And people don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. I don't have to sit under a pastor. I know as much as they do. I'm smarter than he is. You know what you may be. But God didn't appoint you pastor teacher. God did not appoint you to tell others how to run his church. The church is in trouble worldwide. There are so many views of the salvation. so many views of end times, so many views of everything. It's a mess. And therefore people just feel free. I believe whatever I want. No, you can't. That's why I told you the most frightening thing you'll do is open this book. Every morning when I go into my office and sit down, that is the most frightening thing I'm going to do. Open that book and start studying. And I know it. And that's why I go into fervent prayer. Not my will, not my view, not what I want to see, but your spirit. Read it to me. The church is in trouble throughout the world. Big trouble. And it's because we're allowing it. We allow it. God has appointed men to study and teach the Word of God. Verse by verse. Getting back to our Constitution is one thing. Getting back to the Word of God is paramount. Essential. You can't get away without it. Wake up, America. Wake up, Christian. Wake up, non-Christian. Wake up. Okay. We're in the study of Ezekiel. And we're in the study of chapters 38 and 39, which is in the section of Ezekiel that dealt with the restoration of Israel. It's amazing. It's the restoration of Israel. Chapters 38 and 39. And what it deals with is the alignment of the nations that are going to come against Israel in the what we call the tribulation. You know what the tribulation is? Please understand. It's the faithfulness of God. It's the last 7 years promised by God to Israel. He promised them 490 years. They crucified their Messiah that cut it off at 483. There are 7 years left. If they don't get it, God's not faithful. Replacement theology, let me tell you the problem with replacement theology. Anyone who believes in replacement theology does not believe in the faithfulness of God. God does not have to be faithful to His unconditional covenants. Now, if God doesn't have to be faithful to them, God doesn't have to be faithful to you. That means you and I have no guarantee of our eternal life. If God just arbitrarily decides, I'm not going to give them eternal life. Is that your view of God? I hope not. It's not the Bible view. God promised Israel. And these are the last 7 years of the faithfulness of God. And moved back into the land. That infuriated the world. People, that is infuriated the nations. So in chapters 38 and 39, we have the alignment of the nations in the tribulation. God has given the land back to Israel as it being their land. And the world hates Jews for this reason. They hate God. And since they're the people of God, they hate God. That's why in the church age, they hate Christians. John 15, study it. Christ taught, they'll hate you. But remember, they hated me first. Why do they hate Christians? They hate God. Why do they hate the Bible? They hate God. Why do they got to get rid of the Bible? Get rid of God. You and I have got to stand firm on the Bible, people. We've got to demand pastors study and teach the Word of God faithfully, verse by verse. We've got to demand it. If you don't demand it, people, you're going to lose it. So this is what they're doing. So here we have Israel back in the land, nations around and all over the world, but nations around Israel are forming an alignment against Israel because they hate the Jews. Now, You got to understand something about the Bible. Most Jews today are non-believers in Jesus as Messiah. Unbelief. But God still, they're still God's people. And you better give thanks that they're there. That's the faithfulness of God. Every time you meet a Jew, that's the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. And people, what does that tell you? He'll be faithful to me. I'll study His Word. He'll be faithful to me. I trust Him. See, God doesn't want our understanding. God wants our faith. And that's coming from a person who I spend my life studying the Word of God to gain understanding. And what I've learned is, God does not want our understanding. He wants us to trust. The great book of Habakkuk starts off, verses 2 and 3. Why? How long? How long is this going to go on? And why? You know what God's answer is? Chapter 2. The righteous will live by faith. You just trust me. I'm working my plan out. Will you do that? Will you just trust Him? He's working out His plan. See? Look at Ezekiel chapter 5. Ezekiel chapter 5 a moment. Verse 5. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her at the center of the nations, with lands around her. Now, I want to tell you something. I grew up thinking Texas was the center of the world, but it isn't. I'm sorry. It's Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the center of the world. And people, the world hates this. They hate it. They hate Jerusalem. Iran, Iraq. We are going to destroy all Jews. We're going to get rid of all Jews. Hitler thought he was doing it. Book of Esther thought he was doing it. Spanish Inquisition tried to do it. Why is that? Why are all the people in the world always the Jews in this dilemma? They're God's people. And people hate God. The world hates God. They hate God's people. They hate God's plan. See? Many years ago, a speaker spoke to my wife when she was just a young girl and said, when you hear Israel, Jerusalem in the news every day, every week, you know the end time is near. You know it's getting ready to come together. People, every day, it's about Israel. It's about Jerusalem. Study your Bibles, please. Don't listen to man. Study your Bibles. His plan. He is God. And His plan is going to prevail. Satan hates the Jews. Why? Because of the coming of the Messiah. And He's going to inspire everyone He can to be against the Jews. Read Revelation 11 and, or 12 and 13. All to destroy the Jews. Why? If He can destroy the Jews, God cannot keep His word. And if God cannot keep His word, God is no longer God. It's that simple. If you study the Genesis 6, that was Satan's plan. The Messiah would come through the human race. Through the loins of a young Jewish lady. Pure human. So what did he do in Genesis 6? I'll cut that right off. He sent his demons down. They had sexual relationships with women on the earth and polluted the earth. They polluted it so much, there was but one family pure. And that doesn't mean pure of sinlessness. That means perfect in humanity. Noah and his family. One of the most interesting studies of the Bible is what most people find boring, genealogy. Sometimes just read the genealogy before the flood and read the genealogy after the flood. There are no demonic people. There are no supernatural people. These are all pure humans. Then, that didn't work. So he tried different things, when he realized it was down to the tribe of Judah, he tried to wipe them out. And then when it was narrowed down to the family of David, he tried to wipe that out. And he got it down to where there was one. One! And you know why there was one? Because he was born in the woods, in the forest. And Jezebel did not know it. He was an illegitimate son. Study the Bible. Try to get rid of the Jews. Try to get rid of the family of David to stop the Messiah. Well, he lost. The Messiah came. The Messiah came. I think one of the funniest, if it could be taken funny, but it's so serious, is the crucifixion of our Lord. I know that Satan just knew he was winning. Look, I got him on the cross. I've got him dead. I've got him killed. I've got him tortured. But I think when the cross was covered in darkness at 12 noon for 3 o'clock, Satan probably went, oh no, he's done it to me again. And then when he got him into the tomb, I'm back to winning. And then he rose from the grave. Satan went, oh no, he's done it to me again. People, please understand, God's plan is going to work. God is going to be victorious. You best get on his side instead of fighting him. You best get under a pastor who studies and teaches the Word of God in truth, verse by verse. And grow, and witness, tell others of Christ, of what he's done for you, see? So, all the nations in Ezekiel 38 and 39, this is where we're going to have to stop, pick it up next week. I'll try not to give an hour for a 50-minute introduction next week, but we got to get back to Ezekiel 38 and 39. But in verse 8, after many days, the tribulation, you, Gog, will be summoned by Jesus Christ in latter years. We're in Ezekiel 38, verse 8, near the end of the tribulation. You, Gog, will come into the land, Palestine, that is restored from the sword, used for military assault. So much is involved in these words. You will come into the land of Israel, the beautiful land, the land promised to his people. Then that is restored, brought back from the sword. That is God's description of the land of Israel throughout history in the Old Testament and New Testament, in between and during the tribulation. So many people have brought sword against the Jews. It's the period of the Gentiles. Read Luke. It's the period of the Gentiles. From Daniel to the millennial reign of Christ. See? It's the reign. Well, we'll resume here next Wednesday night. I hope you'll join us. Now, Sunday morning at 9:30, right, Judy? 9:30, we'll study spiritual love, what you really need during the time of being confined. And then, after that class, 15 minutes or so after that class, we're going to continue our study in Ephesians 1, where what God has given you, that's so wonderful. So we'll take these things up Sunday, and please be in prayer for each other. Please be in prayer for me. Please be in prayer for Julie and Brian. Please be in prayer for Spring Valley Bible Church that we can continue spreading the gospel and the teaching of the Word of God. Thank you. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your word. It is a light into our path. It lets us know about you, your Son, your Spirit, your plan. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us what's in the Bible. And Father, I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen tonight for the honor and glory of Christ and for the church. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.